Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bosser. On January 1st, the dean of UVA's Graduate School of Business will be sworn in as the 10th president of the university. But some say Scott Beardsley's tenure will not last long. Sandy Hausman reports on why he might be replaced.
Scott Beardsley has said he's honored and grateful to be appointed UVA's next president, but opponents will not go quietly. About 14,000 alumni, students, staff, and faculty have joined a group that supported former President Jim Ryan and called on the board to pause its search for his successor. Ann Brown is co-chair of Wahoos for UVA.
What should happen next is that the governor-elect should have the opportunity to fill vacancies on the board and for the reconstituted board to meet and determine what's best to do for the university.
There are five vacancies on the board, and while those now serving were unanimous in casting a vote for Beardsley, Brown says some of them may have a change of heart.
That's the tradition when a president is chosen at UVA, that no matter what individual board members might have actually thought, they assess where the majority is and declare that their vote was unanimous. There may well be members remaining on that board who might agree that it was hasty and inappropriate.
Pressure could come not only from Abigail Spanberger, but from state lawmakers, according to University of Richmond professor Carl Tobias.
There's also some very strong and vocal members of the General Assembly who are, I think, quite upset.
Supporters of Scott Beardsley have urged opponents to move on, but opponents say that can't happen until more is known about why Jim Ryan was forced to resign. I'm Sandy Hausman.
This note of disclosure, the University of Virginia is a financial supporter of Radio IQ. Attorney General-elect Jay Jones has been cleared in an investigation related to community service documented after a reckless driving conviction in 2022. That's according to the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Roanoke Prosecutor Donald Caldwell, who was appointed as a special prosecutor in this case, said Jones was penalized within the law for his conviction and no further action is necessary. In the incident, a Virginia State Trooper clocked Jones speeding on Interstate 64 at 116 miles an hour, 46 over the speed limit in New Kent County. He did not serve jail time or get his license suspended. Under Virginia law, a reckless driving conviction can result up to a year in jail. Jones paid a $1,500 fine. He was caught speeding 3 weeks after he had quit his job as a state delegate representing Norfolk and a year after his first run for attorney general. Coming up in a little bit, new uses and tools related to artificial intelligence are showing up every day, and Virginia legislators are trying to figure out what guardrails might be needed for students.
That is a big frontier where we need to have some serious focus.
Brad Kuttner talks to lawmakers and educators about AI regulation. We'll have his story up shortly. Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger has announced another cabinet appointment. Spanberger named Jessica Luman as Virginia's next Secretary of Labor. Luman served as administrator of the U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division from 2021 to 2025, overseeing enforcement of federal labor standards for millions of workers. Virginia State Police are investigating an officer-involved shooting in Pennsylvania County. It happened just after 12:30 Monday morning when a trooper spotted a vehicle wanted from an earlier pursuit. According to a news release from state police, the driver had fled again, leading troopers on another pursuit. The troopers used a pit maneuver to stop the car on Deerview Road. Police say the suspect fired a rifle at the trooper, who returned fire and killed 25-year-old Jacob Wesley Atkins of Hurt. The trooper was shot but is expected to recover. The highest-profile Republican hoping to take on incumbent Senator Mark Warner is out of the race. Michael Pope explains.
Senator Bryce Reeves of Orange was expected to be the Republican frontrunner in a field of candidates to take on incumbent Democratic Senator Mark Warner. But now he says he'll run for re-election to the state Senate instead because of a serious family health matter. That leaves three potential Republican challengers, Kim Farrington, Al Mina, and David Williams. Here's Virginia State University Professor Wes Bellamy.
None of those have the name recognition that Senator Reeves has. And to take on a juggernaut like Senator Mark Warner is going to be uphill sledding, to say the least. So I really think Republicans need to do some evaluation about where they see themselves going in the future and developing a bench, if you will, because right now they don't have one.
Mark Warner was first elected to the Senate back in 2008, and he's been re-elected twice.
It's a futile effort by any Republican, front runner or not.
That's David Ramadan, a former Republican delegate who's now at George Mason University's Schar School. He says the difficulty goes way beyond a backlash to President Trump.
Senator Warner is quite popular. He has done a good job being all over the state, talking to people in Southwest as he does in Northern Virginia.
Candidates will need 10,000 signatures to get on the ballot, at least 400 in each congressional district. The Republican primary is scheduled for June 16th. I'm Michael Pope.
A panel of judges heard arguments in a challenge to the eligibility of a newly elected school board member in Shenandoah County. Randy Hagee of member station WMRA reports the result could depend on an interpretation of Virginia's felon disenfranchisement law.
LM Mike Scheibe II was elected to the Shenandoah County School Board in November, but did not disclose a prior felony conviction on a candidacy form. His opponent, Brent Wilson, is contesting the election in the Shenandoah County Circuit Court. On Monday, three judges presided over the hearing: Kevin Black, Heidi Minzer, and John Cook. Black began the proceedings by saying it doesn't sound like the facts are much in controversy, that Scheibe has a 2004 third-degree felony conviction from Pennsylvania, and he regained his voting rights automatically in that state after being released from incarceration. The Virginia Constitution states that to qualify to hold public office, a person must be qualified to vote for that office. And, quote, no person who has been convicted of a felony shall be qualified to vote unless his civil rights have been restored by the governor or other appropriate authority. Scheibe's attorney cited a 1980 attorney general's opinion that other states' laws restoring civil rights to a statutory classification of persons do meet Virginia's standard. Judge Minzer asked the parties if the panel should consider whether Scheibe's conviction, criminal trespassing, would be considered a felony in Virginia. Wilson's attorney said that a person convicted of a felony in another state is still a felon in Virginia, even if Virginia's laws on that issue are more lenient. The judges gave the parties until January 10th to file additional evidence and arguments in the case. I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Virginia's top agricultural commodity are broilers. Those are chickens raised for meat. The new data released this week by the U.S. Department of Agriculture covers the 2024 calendar year. Broilers accounted for more than $1.2 billion in cash receipts. Cattle were a distant second at $712 million, followed by miscellaneous crops and dairy products. On New Year's Day, parking is free at all Virginia State Park locations, and there are nearly 90 guided tours and other events planned across the Commonwealth. Roxy Todd has details.
State parks across the country have been hosting first-day hikes every New Year's Day for over a decade. This year in Virginia, there are hikes you can take with your dog, events that feature hot chocolate or soup, and slower nature walks for small children. There are also rigorous hikes and midnight walks on New Year's Eve. Space is limited, and so signing up ahead of time is encouraged. New this year are three guided hikes within Virginia's protected natural areas. Leslie Stark is with the Virginia Natural Heritage Program.
Getting out in nature to see what makes Virginia so special is just a great way to spend time in nature, perhaps with your family or your friends, to maybe start a new tradition, maybe keep going with an old tradition, but why not start on the very first day with a fresh start?
2026 marks the 40th anniversary for the Virginia Natural Heritage Program, which manages 69 preserves across the Commonwealth.
2026 is going to be a big year for us. We're planning to open three new public access facilities at our natural area preserves.
Virginia Natural Heritage is leading hikes on New Year's Day in Russell, Franklin, and Stafford counties. 84 other hikes are planned at state parks across the Commonwealth, and in West Virginia, there are 21. I'm Roxy Todd.
On our website, you can find more about first day hikes planned throughout Virginia for New Year's Day. That's at radioiq.org. Artificial intelligence is just about everywhere these days, and that includes inside and outside Virginia classrooms. As legislators head to Richmond, they have a myriad of issues to tackle, including how the Commonwealth schools and colleges should use or encourage the tool's use. Brad Cutner has this report.
And while she admitted she was a bit of a dinosaur, she's come around to AI, at least in some ways.
I've been using it myself. I've just to, you know, help me, obviously, update my lectures, kind of bring them forward and, you know, adding, you know, new suggestions. But as far as using it in the classroom, my class is all chalk and talk, so they don't really use AI.
Chalk and talk and multiple choice tests have kept AI and cell phones out of her classrooms, and she says she's heard good feedback, even while encouraging its use outside the classroom.
I think the grades have definitely improved, and I do think that the students, you know, are using it to make them understand better what I say in class.
Moore's experience with AI may help inform Virginia legislators as they head back to Richmond for the 2026 legislative session. While details on legislation are still being parsed out, Delegate Sam Rasool, who chairs the House Education Committee, thinks any future regulations should fall into two categories.
One is the safety and security and the social-emotional development of our children. And second is the cognitive development and ensuring that our students are actually learning by using AI and it is not taking away from their intelligence.
Virginia's constitution empowers local school boards to set a lot of their own policies. Governor Glenn Youngkin's Board of Education released guidelines for AI in the classroom in early 2024, but school divisions like Richmond City Public Schools are still in the process of developing their own. Fairfax County has guidelines in its long-term plan. As for colleges, VCU said in a statement they are, quote, encouraging all faculty to clearly state their AI policies in the syllabus and assignment instructions. VCU also said they had not yet made a, quote, institutional investment in AI, meaning they hadn't paid for AI services for their programs, and were instead, quote, focused on reinforcing principled academic conduct. Rasool said the legislature can be a bit more direct with guidelines.
We, you know, tell the schools and school divisions and educators all the time, you know, what are certain parameters we think are best to operate within. And we'll continue to make sure that first and foremost, that the safety and development of our children is taken care of.
Delegate Michelle Maldonado is on the Joint Commission on Technology and Science. She said that group has been examining the issue leading into 2026.
We're looking at workforce development and pipeline development, as well as education, as well as legislation. So all those things are going to go hand in hand, I think. And right now, everything is so new, there's really no clear guardrails. And so that is a big frontier where we need to have some serious focus.
But the lack of guardrails at the state, federal, and local level isn't slowing private industry's entry into the market. Nan Maz, CEO and co-founder of Numerade, the AI platform, and its AI tutor ACE were developed with help from educators.
A student can explain if they understand their topic into ACE in verbal form, so they can talk into it and actually try to teach our AI. And through that process, that helps us understand, you know, is a student actually learning? And that type of data is something that we can provide back to teachers to say, look, Johnny has been able to understand this topic by verbally explaining that into our AI platform.
Ma said his company's work with local school divisions and 60,000 educators has been successful, and while regulation changes may come from a number of sources, he's been pleased with relying on local guidance to provide direct feedback.
You want to make sure that the AI is responsible and that it's actually helping the student learn and you're not replacing educators.
And back at UVA, Moore is spreading the AI gospel to others.
You know, trying to explain to the students as well as the other faculty how they have to change their curriculums to make sure that some of this information that's no longer going to be that relevant because of AI, right? And start, you know, just addressing the real world. It's here, right? It's here to stay and it's not going anywhere.
Virginia legislators return to Richmond January 14th. Specific bills should start trickling in just after the new year. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
And tomorrow we'll hear how one Virginia school district is embracing AI. In the forecast, blustery once again today with some frigid wind chills. Cold and windy. Highs range from 27 in Wise to the upper 30s east of the Blue Ridge. Wind chill values in the single digits in the southwest. Cold this evening, though not quite as windy in the Piedmont. Lows in the upper teens and lower 20s. Wednesday mostly sunny, a bit warmer, with highs in the mid-40s for most locations. Upper 30s for the Wise and Blacksburg area. Still breezy. For New Year's Day, winds finally moderate, though we'll start the new year on a cold note with highs in the upper 30s and low 40s. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand, and a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.